Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I started a deal on a hearing heart a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't get through with it, but I wanted to kind of go from there. I want to talk about ears to hear and a heart to obey. Ears to hear. Now, I'm telling you, there's something to that, and I want us to pray, because, you know, the God of this world blinds the minds and the ears so we don't hear. And the matter of mixture a lot of times will keep us from hearing what we ought to hear. But I want to pray that God will continue to open our ears. I know we're reading John G. Lake for the third time. And to me, I'm hearing awesome things I never heard the first two times. And I think it's a matter of us hearing. And that's why Paul prayed in Ephesians, from the first day I heard that you have become a Christian, I cease not to pray for you night and day, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you can know what is the hope of his calling and what is his purpose for your life. And see, that's part of the enemy trying to keep us blinded to what's ours. 1 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, those that are lost. And that word lost there is the same word that says he that saveth his life or his soul will lose it. It's that same lose it. And so the enemy tries to keep you from hearing what God say. When you see the word obedience, it really means to hear. You can't obey till you hear. And we need our ears open. And I just want to take authority over that thing blocking our ears, because I think we're moving into a realm that's going to be awesome if we just got ears to hear. Lord, we just come in the name of Jesus, and I take authority over that deaf and dumb spirit that keeps us from hearing. I command through the blood of Jesus that that thing be gone. And Lord, not only that, but some of us older folks that has this ringing that we have to deal with occasionally, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just receive new ears, new eardrums in the name of Jesus. We want to hear clearly what people's saying and what you're saying. So Lord, we ask that you just send us, we just receive new eardrums so we can hear clearly in the natural and the spiritual. And we just take authority over everything that keeps us from hearing the way we should hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I said 2 weeks ago, I've been reading, listening to the book of Revelation, and the seven church in Asia in Revelation. He said to every single one of those churches, he says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh, the church at Ephesus, he that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life. And the Smyrna, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, he that hath ears, he says, I will give you a crown of life, he that overcomes, and you'll not be hurt of the second death. Pergamos 2:17, he says, he that overcometh, now we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In 1 John, he that believeth that Christ is the Son of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, faith. So overcoming has nothing to do with you except for believing. It's his faith. You don't have to work at overcoming. You work at staying in his overcoming. We're living by the overcoming of another. And that's what he's saying here. He says in the hidden manna, Pergamos, he that overcometh, he says, I'll give you to eat of the hidden manna, and I'll give you a white stone, and I'll write a new name on it, which only you and me know. And I was telling the guys one time, I asked the Lord, I said, what is mine? He said, well, I'll tell you what it means. It means enlightened. He didn't tell me the name. He just said what it meant. Well, I'd rather have what it meant than the name. Sometimes the name's not as enlightened. And that's what Paul was praying. That's the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so we will know. Tyre, he that overcometh and keepeth my works. Whose works? I'll give power over a nation. I'll give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Sardis 3:5, he that overcometh will be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his book out of the book, his name out of the book of life. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Every one of them, he mentioned that. Philadelphia 3:12, he that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and I'll give him the name of my God, and the name of New Jerusalem, and I'll write my new name on him. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. See, we need to hear what the Spirit's saying to us all the time. Now, I just want to say something. It can be the difference between life and death. Mike Lyons was telling me stories about, you know, the Spirit would tell him to move over the right-hand lane or something, and he'd obey it, and this something would happen. He told his wife, he said, watch this. He moved over and said, watch what happens. Here comes the car. He learned to listen to that voice to keep us out of trouble if we learn to listen and learn to hear it. And at Laodicea 3:21, he that overcometh will sit with me in my Father's throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the biggest problem the enemy has is he wants to harden your hearts and harden your ears so you can't hear. See? So we got to have ears to hear so we can have a heart to obey. The key is a hearing ear that we got to have. And so in Mark chapter 4, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, one of the things in John G. Lake's book we was talking about that he said, I never caught. But he, when he was in Africa and he finally came back to America, he said he left Africa with a lot of things that was that had gone on. But he left Africa with this one thing. He made known his ways to the children of Israel, his acts, but his ways to Moses. He said he left Africa not with just the acts, but knowing how the power works. He knew how the power worked. And that's when he came back, started those healing rooms. And I never caught that the first time, that he left there knowing how the power of God was manifested. So, you know, one or two little words can really take you on a whole journey as you really hear the Spirit. Many times I've heard the Spirit tell me, I didn't say that, go check it out in the Bible. Many times. And I go check it out. You know, I have found that he's always right. He's always right. Because he is our teacher. Isaiah 30 said, you'll hear a word behind you say it. He says, and your teacher will not be removed anymore. And you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it when you turn to the right or to the left. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit are sons of God. He wants to lead us, but we got to hear to be led of the Spirit. Okay, we was going to Mark chapter 4. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things in parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. What does the word hearken mean? Listen. Behold, there went forth a sower to sow. Came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it up. Some fell on the stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root in it, and it withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And others fell on what kind of ground? Good ground, and did yield fruit. And it sprang up some 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, you see that when the seed is there, all right, now the fowl, which is demonic spirits, come and take that seed that's sowed in your heart because you didn't understand it. That's what he said. You don't understand it. You don't hear it clearly. And the enemy takes it out of your heart before you have time to do anything with it. Or it falls on stony ground. It doesn't have much earth. And you may receive it for a minute, but you didn't understand it. He takes it away. And the thorns, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the distractions, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. What word? It's the word you hear. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to hear it. And what does Isaiah 53 start off with? They have not all believed to report. For Isaiah says, who hath believed the report? A lot of people have read the report. A lot of people have heard the report. But just because you've heard it don't mean you've heard it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It says, they have not all believed or heard the report. And then he goes on, others fell on good ground. In Luke, I think it's 8:15, He says, he with a good and a good heart, go ahead and put that up, I think it is, Rod. But that which is on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it in the soil. Listen, everything that was prayed for you last week, you keep it in the soil. Don't go dig it up and check it up. You just leave it right where it's at and expect it to bring forth fruit when it does. Don't dig it up or don't get in unbelief trying to without keeping that seed in the soil. The soil is a good, honest heart. You tell me, where did you get the good, honest heart? He gave it to you. Because the old heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the heart that we was born with. That old heart you got from Adam that belonged to the devil is fit for nothing. You hear me? And the thing is, let me read this last verse. Verse 9, and he said, he that hath an ear to hear, what? Let him hear. You got to have ears to hear, and he said, let him hear. And I was thinking about that. Of course, it's over there in Genesis. Where was I going? Okay. I done lost what I was shooting for. He that overcometh and keepeth my words. What were we talking about? The heart. Here you go. What did God say in Genesis? And he says, when God saw their heart. Now, let me, I think I wrote it down somewhere. Yeah, here it is. It wasn't on my notes. It's over here in the side notes. Genesis chapter 6, Rod, verse 5. Says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And it grieved God in his heart that he had made man. Because the thoughts and the imaginations of man's heart was on evil continually, and it grieved God in his heart that he made man. You see that? Okay, that's that old heart. Okay, now Genesis chapter 11, go over there, Rod, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one. They're in union. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Their imaginations, he said, they'll be able to do everything they imagine. Now, I want to tell you something. That word imagine is a creative word given to you by God. Your imagination, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust in him. The word imagine, that word mind is imagination. See, that's the thing in you. God said, whatever they've imagined to do, they'll be able to do it. Did you catch that? We got to give them different language where they can't communicate with each other and do this, so he scattered them. And so your mind, your imagination is a God-given thing that you use it in a positive way. In a positive way, we think casting down imaginations. If you have imagination come through your heart, just cast it down immediately. No. You bring that imagination into the obedience of Christ. Is that sowing good seed and holding that seed in the ground? Let your imagination work for you in a positive way. We was reading John G. Lake, and he was a little six-year-old boy. He went up to this insurance office with his dad, wasn't it? And he saw this carpet. He said he nearly sunk into the carpet, saw this mahogany desk and this name on there in ivory, Mother of Pearl on this desk, and he said, I'm going to be that way someday. Well, I don't know how old he was, 30-something or 40. They brought him into this office, and they put him over all these insurance people, and he walked in and saw that same deep carpet and that same desk he saw and that same thing with John G. Lake on it. His first day at work, he made what, $125,000? First day. He was rich, but he gave all that away. Because he found himself, people come in for insurance, He talked to him about the Lord and not sell him insurance. So he finally decided he better just give up the insurance. I say amen. And went into the ministry. But I'm telling you, your imaginations of your heart can be God-given thing. And so, but don't let that enemy take that seed out. How does he always do it? He'll give you a picture of something going bad going to happen. Something bad going to happen. That's the ones you bring into captivity to obedience to Christ. Every one of them. You can't stop the thought from going through, but you can stop it from lodging. Just let her go on through and get out of there in the name of Jesus. Amen? He that hath ears to hear. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, see, the reason the enemy always counterfeits. Always counterfeits. And he saw what the Lord did. Now, that's Isaiah chapter 6. What did God say to Isaiah? He says, go to this people and speak to them, but hearing they shall hear and not hear and not hear, and they shall see and not see. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull in hearing, their eyes they have closed. And because they have done it, now the curse is on them, they can't see. If you won't believe, John chapter 12, you can't believe, because Isaiah said he's hardened their hearts and blinded their eyes. Well, you got an enemy that wants to do the same with you. And in Matthew 13, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he talked about the sower and went forth to sow, and they said, Lord, explain this parable to me. And verse 11, he said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. For to whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he'll have more abundant. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that he has. Therefore I speak in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. The eyes they have closed, lest at any time they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should what? I think a lot of our healing is based on the fact we can't hear and see what we ought to be hearing and seeing. Because it is finished. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, your ears, for they hear. And he says, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So many times, what did he say? Hear. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15 in the Passion says, someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelation of God's Spirit, for it makes no sense to them. He can't understand the revelation of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. You remember 2 weeks ago I talked about Solomon, how wise Solomon was. But one of the things, let me look in 1 Chronicles, I think it was. Yeah, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18, Rod. This was David praying for his son. He says, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our father, keep this forever in the what? Imaginations of the thoughts of the heart of the people, and prepare their hearts unto thee. Keep them in the imaginations of the thoughts. See, it's okay to imagine. I mean, imagine yourself doing great and mighty works for the God. They that know their God, Daniel says, are going to do great exploits. See yourself doing those exploits. And he says, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep the commandments and testimonies and statutes and do all these things, to build the palace for which I have made provision. David made provision for every single thing in that thing that could be done, and he already had it ready to go. And he said, give my son a perfect heart. See, that word perfect heart is where we get the word cardia. It's cardia in a Old Testament is the New Testament is heart. And so, you know, this, all right, slow down a minute. Most of the time when we say, believe with all your heart, too many of us have the imagination of this heart that's pumping blood. That's my heart, it's pumping blood. Has nothing to do with your heart. That blood pumper there is not your heart. We just get this settled. When we're talking and preaching about him giving you a hearing heart, it ain't your heart that's beating down here. That word in the Hebrew, right here, is the word L-E-B. It means the seat of one's nature, his soul, his mind, his emotion. The heart that the Bible talks about is the foundation of your soul. It's the foundation of your soul. And cardia in the New Testament, here it is, the definition, the seat of human life, its desires, its feelings, its affections, passions, impulses, and mind. The heart is the foundation. Now let's get this, of the old soul and the new. The old soul, where all your bad emotions and all that is, and you say, well, that thing's not there anymore. Well, now, come on now. He said he'd put it aside. But in Hebrews chapter 3, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For you're made partakers of Christ if you hold fast the beginning of that confidence, keep it in the soil firm until the end. Don't be moved. See, that old evil heart of unbelief, what kept them out? He said, take heed, brethren. The same thing that kept them out of the promised land will keep you out of the blessings. They couldn't enter in without us. And he says, some of you's got to enter into that rest. How do you do it? You keep the word of God in that soil. Now I'm telling you, I'm convinced of one thing. We're at a place where Proverbs 4:20, one of the first verses I memorized, he says, my son, attend unto my word. Attend to it. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all your flesh. That's the key to healing, is the word. Get it planted, don't root it up, don't dig it up, and don't let the devil tear it out of you. Keep your heart, he says, with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues, the streams of life. The abundant life flows out of that heart. And that's why he gives us a new heart. Okay. In 1 Kings, we talked about, I got to go back to this. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. You want to turn there, Rod? 1 Kings 3, 5. And Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask what I shall give you. Okay. And Solomon said, you have shown your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that you've given him to his son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And what he said is, I don't deserve this. I'm not the eldest son. I don't deserve it. He said, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. That's part of the key to receiving from God when you know you can't. It says, thy servant is in the midst of thy people which you've chosen, great people that cannot be numbered or counted for the multitude. Okay? Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, and for who is able to judge this so great a people? And then what God said. And the speech pleased the Lord and Solomon what he asked for. And God said to him what? And God said to him, because you asked for this and hast not asked for yourself long life, riches for yourself, life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to your words. Doesn't that sound familiar? I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. That word understanding is the word hearing ear, a hearing heart. God said, I've given you a hearing heart to hear me. That's what God gave. Now, saints, when God said, I'm going to give you a new heart, what kind of heart did he give us? He gave us his own heart. Your heart is the heart of God. That new heart and that new soul, when he said, I'll give you a new heart, that's what he gives you, a new heart. And with the new heart, you have a new mind, new will, and new emotion that comes with the package. And it's a hearing heart. But that's where the battle comes in, because the enemy wants to try to take it away from you. Amen? Okay. That word is Shama, 80-85. It means to hear, to listen, to obey. And we ask God to give us that kind of heart, to discover the difference. You know, the thing about that, when he responded to Solomon for that, he granted him everything else. And the thing about that heart, oh, man. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's hitting me. I know it's here somewhere. It's important. Well, I guess it's not that important. But that word, okay, I can see it now. It's in my mind. That word, this Hebrew word, is used 85 times in reference to obey. To obey. 1,075 times it is used to hear. See, and that's where we've got so, because of what the word says at times, when we see that what he's talking about, Romans 5:17, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And by the obedience of another, many were made righteous. One man's disobedience, and that word there is failure to hear, inattentive hearkening. Because Adam didn't listen. He didn't pay attention to what God said. Listen, saints, we need to pay attention. You know, with my kids, I've noticed. I say, now, here's what you need to do recently. They didn't pay a bit of attention to what I said. So they called me on the phone and said, now, what did you tell me to do? So I had to lead them one step at a time through what I said. We've programmed to only hear what we want to hear. We got to learn to listen. Because Adam didn't listen, we're in this mess. And because Jesus did listen, that's what that word obedience means, attentive hearkening. He heard what he said. By the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Isaiah, that's where it says in Isaiah, who hath believed this report? A hearing heart, which Solomon asked for, involves dependence upon God and humility. And that's when he said, I have no right to this. I'm a little child. I don't know what to do. I can't come in and go out. I need your help. You remember what Jesus said? Except you come as a little child, you'll not even enter the kingdom. He said, for judgment have I come into this world that those that see not might see. And those that are blind might be made, those that see will be made blind. Those that see not will see, and those that see will be made blind. The Pharisee said, well, do we see? And he says, because you say you see, your sin remains. A little child. That's what he said. Except you be converted and become as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom. What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your what? Hearing heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll what? Direct your steps. That's what He does. That's what we need. What did He say in 1 Corinthians 12, 26 through 29? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh glory in His presence. Jeremiah 9:23 says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises love and kindness, righteousness and judgment in the Lord in the earth, because in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And then the last verse there, he says, verse 25, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with uncircumcision. I'll punish the circumcised with the uncircumcised. And he said, all Israel is uncircumcised in their hearts. Where? In their hearts. Pull up Ezekiel 11:19. I just wrote the scripture down here, Rod. I want you to see what God said here. I will bring you out of the midst thereof and deliver you, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of the flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. You know, Ezekiel, I give you a heart. Jeremiah, I'll give you a heart to know. All right, Ezekiel 18:31. See, God's talking about a heart. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I think the next verse says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure in him that dies, saith the Lord God. Turn and live. Exchange your heart and live. Amen. God wants you to have a hearing heart. That's what he died for you to have a new heart, a new soul. Everything. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. It's all new. He made it all new. And that's why this. So when we talk about the heart, don't think of it about this old blood pumper down here. That's not your heart. With the heart, man believeth into righteousness. Romans 10. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's with your heart you believe. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Out of the heart comes these evil thoughts. It's not what goes in that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the man. Where all that evil thinking comes from. And that's what God said. It grieves me in my heart. And many times, what's Hebrews 10:35? Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And it says, what's the next verse, right? Yet for a little while, he that comes will come and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my what? Soul will have no pleasure in him. God has a body. God has a heart. God has a soul. We are made in his likeness, in his image. And when we have his heart, we have the same heart, soul, mind he has. That's why another thing in Isaiah chapter 55, if I can get there. Let's see. Let's start in about verse 7, right? Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him through our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, let's stop right there. You have the mind of Christ. Your thoughts are his thoughts. Your ways are his ways. He was talking to an unredeemed people. You have the mind of Christ. The natural mind is not subject to God, neither indeed can it be, but we have the mind of Christ. So let's go on. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay? For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and it returns not hither, but water the earth and makes it bring forth in bud that it may minister seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. For you'll go out with joy and be led with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break for you into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's why you got to keep his word in your heart. God said in Jeremiah 24, I'll put my words in your heart. I'll write them in your mind. Just keep them there. See, keep it there. Watch what you're thinking day and night. Don't allow your mind to go that other side, always thinking negative, fearful, and what if. Well, what if? Well, what if? I believe he's in control.
That's right.
You got to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, Philippians chapter 2. Let it be there. You have it, let it be there. See, and keep it, guard it, guard your heart, for out of it comes the abundance of it all. Give me an amen.